The human body is subjected to the constant pull of the Earth's gravity. As a result, its systems are designed to function efficiently in an Earth gravity environment. Suddenly deprived of this lifelong stimulus, the astronauts' bodies must adapt to their newfound weightlessness. Signs of this adaptation will appear within the first few hours of the flight. Among the first changes they will notice are a sensation of fullness or pressure in the head, eyes, and sinuses, often accompanied by a headache. Facial edema or puffiness and distension of veins in the head and neck. A dramatic decrease in leg size, a condition sometimes described as the bird legs of space. These symptoms reflect a redistribution of body fluids brought about by the absence of gravity. To understand why this occurs, imagine the body as a column of fluid. Under the influence of Earth's gravity, the pressure at the bottom of the column is greater than the pressure at the top. This pressure difference is known as the hydrostatic pressure gradient. As the body becomes weightless, the pressure equalizes between the top and bottom of the column, and fluid is redistributed upward. The resulting increase in fluid in the upper body and the decrease in the lower body produce the symptoms previously described. Roughly half of the crew members will experience varying degrees of a syndrome that has been dubbed space motion sickness, or SMS, with symptoms ranging from mild stomach awareness during head motion to violent bouts of nausea and vomiting. Space motion sickness has been called the most clinically significant medical phenomenon during the first 4 days of spaceflight. Symptoms usually begin with the first 6 hours of flight and resolve by the third day of flight. Symptoms most commonly reported include loss of appetite, vomiting, stomach awareness, malaise, headache, and lethargy. The most puzzling thing about this malady is that there is no apparent correlation between the incidence of SMS and susceptibility to motion sickness experienced on Earth. A crewman that is highly resistant to sea or air sickness on Earth may become violently ill in space, or vice versa. Known motion sickness medications seem to have little effect, making SMS an unpredictable nuisance for which there is no treatment. The astronauts will note another change within 1 day after launch. They will each be more than an inch taller than they were on Earth. Their spinal columns and the supporting musculature will expand like compressed springs being released.
He's probably lost a liter and a half of fluid.
These amazing responses to spaceflight are but the tip of the iceberg of physiological adaptation. A host of other changes, many of which have yet to be discovered, take place as man adapts to this unique environment. Observations of such changes raise questions about the mechanisms involved and about the body's ability to function properly in space and upon return to Earth. What causes space motion sickness? Can it be treated or prevented? How does the cardiovascular system cope with the massive shift in body fluids? What other physiological changes take place as a result of exposure to weightlessness? What are the implications of these changes for long-duration space travelers? What steps need to be taken to ensure the health and well-being of future astronauts? Man's spaceflight experience from the Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo programs had demonstrated that man can live and work in space for days and weeks at a time. The Skylab program proved the viability of missions lasting several months. The scientific data collected during these programs answered many basic questions about the effects of spaceflight on human physiology. But even more new questions were raised than had been answered. The arrival of the shuttle era ushered in more routine access to space and paved the way for the space station, making the search for answers to these new questions even more possible. The design of the space shuttle vehicle raised particular concern about the effects of fluid shifts on the cardiovascular system. If the hydrostatic pressure gradient returns, it will pull blood back into the legs and lower body. The decrease in his body fluids includes a decrease in circulating blood volume, so his heart will have to work harder to maintain an adequate blood supply to the brain. If it cannot keep up, a blackout or fainting spell can result. This reaction to spaceflight is called cardiovascular deconditioning. astronauts re-entered the atmosphere lying on their back. Thus, the hydrostatic pressure gradient didn't become a factor until they climbed out of the capsule and stood up. The shuttle, however, is flown to a landing like an airplane. The astronauts sit upright during re-entry and immediately feel the effects of the pull of gravity on their cardiovascular system. Another concern for shuttle operations was the possibility that an astronaut suffering from SMS might be incapacitated in the event of an emergency landing early in the mission. It was clear that space motion sickness and cardiovascular deconditioning had immediate operational significance, and that the search for preventative measures and treatment for these syndromes should be given a high priority. The personnel, facilities, and expertise of the Space Biomedical Research Institute enable us to remain at the forefront of space adaptation research. The valuable data we have collected from our ground-based and in-flight investigations have yielded a wealth of information on physiological adaptation to the space environment. We will continue our efforts to make man's steps into space safer and to ensure his health and well-being upon return to Earth. We will continue looking for answers.